It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already May 15th or 16th, depending on when you listen to this. Both times are 9:05 after the 9 o'clock news on Saturday the 15th and Sunday the 16th. It's also the new tax day. We all got a one-month extension from the normal April 15th date. It's hard to believe we're already in mid-May. Want to give a big shout-out to my guest last week, talking about the community college system and specifically Lakes Region Community College. So we had Dr. Larissa Baea with us, and she did a great job explaining the uniqueness of the community college system in New Hampshire, in the United States, but more specifically in the Lakes Region. So thank you, Larissa. But this weekend with me is Tina Sartell, who is the executive director of The Music Hall, and I will ask her now to give her background on herself, but also the Music Hall. And I know, Tina, you've been there for probably a quarter of a century, but let's start there and tell us about the Music Hall and as well as your background.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, no, I haven't been here at the Music Hall for a quarter of a century, but certainly through this year and COVID, some days it definitely feels like that with how quickly time moves along.
That's true, because you were appointed executive director right in the middle of the messy middle of COVID, but you do have 25 years of experience working in arts and entertainment.
Throughout arts, entertainment, higher ed, in retail business prior in my earlier days.
So, okay. Well, tell us about that. And I also, what piqued my interest too is you have a health management and policy degree. So that's my field. So, but tell us your whole background and how you wound up being the executive director of the Music Hall.
Oh, sure thing. Yeah. So I was born and raised in Maine and was really fortunate to discover the University of New Hampshire, where I studied my undergraduate degree in healthcare administration. Through actually a wonderful, just our high school had an awesome music program that drew us to the Clark Terry Jazz Festival. And so it kind of speaks to how music and the arts have been part of my life since I was a younger human. And it's really stuck with me ever since then. But I studied at UNH. I got my undergrad and then later my master's degree in business. And then thought I would pursue a career in healthcare. And a job opening came up at the University of New Hampshire. And so I had a long career there, about 15 years working in higher ed in various financial capacities, as well as overseeing other things like marketing and IT for whatever department or college or sector of the university that I worked for. My last job there was at the UNH Foundation. So I got also to add fundraising to my overall skill sets as well as some investment.
Which is coming in handy now, I bet.
It sure is.
Yep. And you also did alumni relations. Tell us about that experience.
Oh, yeah, that was wonderful. At the time, we were looking for a full-time head of the alumni team, and I had been with the organization long enough and had a good feel for how to fulfill that role in a very interim capacity where I get to travel throughout the country through various alumni events and speak with them as a fellow UNH alum, but also talk with them about how we were working to build a greater culture of philanthropy at the university and ways to connect undergraduates and graduates with fellow UNH alums. I loved that part of my time at UNH.
And that's really building there, and that's really important. I've always, there's so many UNH graduates in New Hampshire in business, and yet many don't feel the same, tie that you might if you're another school. So it's great that that's growing. And I know the current president, Jimmy Deem, is really doing a great job, emphasizing that. So I'm glad you were a part of that. And I'm assuming you're almost like perfectly positioned to lead the Music Hall because you have, how to fundraise. You have the arts experience. And you also know the expression, no money, no mission, because you were the CFO there for 5 years, but a lot of your history relates to, you have, of course, your master's in business from UNH, and you understand the finance part of things. So how do you balance that as executive director of the music hall, recognizing, you know, no money, no mission, but you also want to make sure that you're, you know, providing, you know, the shows, the performances that, you know, that people want. So how do you balance that?
Well, it's a great question. I think this year will be probably a year unlike most years going forward into this job, but certainly paying attention to our financials has remained front and center on my daily to-do list in terms of cash flow, fundraising efforts. But we've also had a tremendous amount of opportunity to advocate for ourselves, but for the arts industry as a whole. And so that has been really time-consuming, but very fruitful in that effort, and has helped us bring in additional COVID disaster relief funding that has certainly assisted us in remaining open, even in smaller socially distanced shows. And so then that lends itself into, once we've secured that funding, you know, working with the team on being as creative as we possibly can in terms of how do we keep people engaged with the theater, certainly during a pandemic, has been an incredible challenge, but very rewarding to find the creativity that exists within the team and that I might even have little bits of within myself. We've taken basically very large-scaled shows. You know, we typically would have 900 people inside our theater and found a way to engage sometimes 50 people, maybe upwards to 150 or 200 people. And we've also shifted to a virtual platform as a way to stay connected with people and to keep our creative juices flowing in the vein of producing literary events as well as live music events, or tapping into what exists for virtual film events. And so it's allowed us to really think outside of the box, and I have found that to be a really exciting part of the job this year particularly.
Wow. So the website is themusichall.org. And tell us your location, and since you were talking about sort of the hybrid model, I mean, are people now welcome back? Tell us about that. But again, the website is themusichall.org, and the location in Portsmouth, and the venue?
Yeah, Portsmouth, New Hampshire. We actually have two venues.
Two.
So as I mentioned earlier, the 900 seats is within our historic theater, a structure built in 1878, has gone through many different stories and experiences, but largely has always been a venue that has been used for theatrical performances and film. And our second venue is also in Portsmouth, located on Congress Street, much smaller venue called The Loft, seats 120 people typically. And because of the safety guidelines that we really believe in and have worked well for us, we have had to shutter that particular venue, but we can still use it for very small gatherings and meetings as needed for our organization. So yeah, that's where we're located. And we, as I maybe alluded to earlier, we have remained open when we were allowed to reopen last summer using the state guidelines. We basically just said, let's do the socially distanced shows, the small level shows that we could, as a way to stay connected and to bring people out safely. So we're following those 6-foot distancing rules. People are wearing masks when they can't be a distance from one another, but yet we're still able to bring them live entertainment, primarily outside has been one of our key strategies, which many patrons love, being able to sit outside along the Chestnut Street, which is where our big historic theater is located, and they can sit at a cabaret style setting with their what we like to call them, their COVID bubbles, within their COVID bubbles, people that they feel safely going out with, and offer them concessions, beverage services, while they're enjoying live entertainment. And we're kicking that off once again this summer, actually in just this coming weekend in May, we'll be doing a whole nother round of those outdoor shows.
Awesome. That's extraordinary. And, you know, we've all had to pivot. We're also blessed, I think, that we live in New Hampshire. I know the running community, I know starting really last June as well, Millennium Running and others developed, the safe running protocols, and it really brought that community back. And it's great that you engaged it as well as far as theater, whereas a lot of other states who are completely, went shuttered for a long time, whereas you really engaged it. So I congratulate you. The history, let's segue a little bit to the history. So when I was preparing for the show, I thought it was interesting that you've had the so theoretically, right, you've had the Barrymores at the original place. So I always liked, was it Ethel Barrymore, that her famous quote, "That's all there is. There isn't any more." That's all I could think of when I saw that. And you've had John Philip Sousa. So it was built in 1878, the original location, like you were mentioning. And so there must be an incredible feel when you walk in there, because you have these historical characters that we've all read about, but they actually perform there. So tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can really appreciate that the most when you're standing on stage, or you have the opportunity to get a backstage tour, and you can see the original rigging system. It's a hemp-based rigging system that was built by shipbuilders back in the day, and that we still utilize today. But to look out across the theater with a beautiful chandelier that has been restored, but is largely to blend into the original aesthetics of the historic building. And just for a moment, take in the hundreds of thousands of people and performers that have stood within that theater and congregated together for probably more joyous moments than any of us could ever imagine. So yeah. We feel like we are stewards of this theater, and we love being stewards of it for future generations to come.
Awesome. So the website is themusichall.org. We'll return after commercial break. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio, and this weekend, May 15th and 16th, with me is Tina Sartell, who is the executive director of The Music Hall in Portsmouth. And as Tina mentioned before the commercial break, there's actually two locations. This was the 900-seat original venue, and then the loft, which seats about 120. And Tina and her team has successfully pivoted during COVID, has had a number of events really, energized her team to make sure that we can continue seeing venue shows. And a lot of it is, like as Gina mentioned, sort of outdoor with sort of the COVID bubble, which hopefully will be emerging from soon. So tell us, take us back a little bit maybe right before COVID, some of the more notable accomplishments in 2019, and then we can talk about, going forward in terms of things like the interconnections and Live Under the Arch and the White Christmas, which is, gosh, we're already talking about White Christmas for 2021. we did have a snowstorm not too long ago, but in any event. So tell us about the more recent accomplishments.
Yeah, well, I think the things that I like to highlight is that diversifying programming that we constantly work on. And what I mean by that is that we're not just live music, but we also offer comedy. We have international New York Times bestselling authors sit on our stage, as well as award-winning film programming come to our theater through a variety of film festivals that we do. But prior to COVID, we were heading into probably what was going to be one of our most successful spring seasons with the lineup of all of that type of programming. But those that are some of our fan favorites that come to the Music Hall: Melissa Etheridge, Lyle Lovett, Chris Botti, the Mavericks. We've had the Indigo Girls before on our stage, Rayla Montaigne, and the ability to continue to attract those acts as returning acts is, I think it's a nod not only towards what a beautiful theater we have, but what a wonderful community that we are a part of. And then the other part of our mission, though, that we all feel is so critical and differentiates us from other arts venues is that we work very hard to stay connected to the community. First and foremost, through our School Days series, where we bringing up to 10,000 school children each year to come and see theater. And sometimes for those children, it's for the very first time. And they come into our theater, and it feels like a little bit of maybe Disneyland to some of them who haven't had that opportunity. And then our other initiative that we love to talk about is our partnership with Gather, the local food pantry, where we collect food for the summer months for those children who are in need of food and lunches throughout the summer months when school is not happening. Last year in June, and this was through COVID, we collected, we tripled the amount of financial donations on that day. Typically, it would be about $20,000, $25,000. We collected $75,000 in cash last year, and then we over doubled the volume of food that we collected. And I'm always worried that I'm going to get this number wrong, but it was something like 20,000 pounds of food that we collected.
You're bringing a big smile to my face, which in my business is important on two fronts. One, of course, food insecurity. When I was involved with the New Hampshire Food Bank, and you know this, I know, but like one out of nine people in New Hampshire, surprisingly, suffer from food insecurity. And of course, that's gotten more acute, exacerbated, you know, during COVID. And the other reason why I have a smile is sort of the school-based program. When I was chair of the State Board of Ed, we encouraged a sort of real-life experiential learning. And you're right, you know, whether it's the Music Hall or the Capitol Center of the Arts or the Palace Theater, when, you know, school children actually see performances or visit venues, it's a lot more meaningful than for them than just, you know, reading about it in a, you know, in a classroom. So I salute you for that. And I also know you do the great thing about the Music Hall venue. I know, for example, right before COVID hit, you know, you've had like fundraisers for Goodwin and, you know, and other organizations. So it's it's a terrific community jewel that you have. And again, the website is themusichall.org. So if I'm listening to this, and then we will get to the future programming coming up. If I want to see what's going on in terms of either becoming a member or buying tickets, all that information is on the website.
Yes, absolutely. All that is detailed there for you. And another way to stay connected with us is go up into that upper right-hand corner on our website and sign up for our weekly newsletter. That will certainly tip you off to upcoming shows that we have. But if you're a member of the Music Hall, that's the way that you can get access to tickets before they go on sale to the general public. And certainly once we are up and running again with our full 900 seats available to us, we will have some of those national touring acts back once again. And quite often those shows, they sell out rather quickly. So it's a real advantage in being a member, not only supporting us financially, but you yourself getting access to those tickets.
And I'll say this for Tina, because I know this from my work with some other theaters, but, you know, ticket prices only cover a small or, you know, relatively small proportion of the overall cost of the performance. So we do need members, so I encourage you to become a member. And for my CEO and other friends and other people that work at employers who are in the position to influence sponsorships, we need sponsorships as well. And Delta Dental has been a long-time supporter. So we do put our money where our mouth is. Again, no pun intended, but we need to buy tickets, become a member, be a sponsor. Again, you can find that all on themusichall.org. So tell us what's in your head and what's coming up. I've already sort of hinted that you're planning a White Christmas holiday show in 2021. So hopefully towards the end of this year, there will be herd immunity, and we may be somewhat back to pre-COVID, although you probably agree with me that a lot, the world's probably going to end up being a hybrid model. But tell us about some of the upcoming things that are either in your head or, you know, on paper to implement.
Sure, happy to. Yeah, I do think we're going to continue to follow this hybrid model, so I think you'll see live streaming parts of programming still available well beyond COVID. But yeah, we're hoping by the time the holiday season rolls around that we will be able to successfully, safely bring in much larger audiences than we've been able to this last year. White Christmas is done in partnership with the Algonquin Playhouse, and they have just developed this fantastic regional reputation as a Broadway level, Broadway quality performing group. And we're so thrilled to be partnering with them once again. And, you know, mentioning back to families and maybe children for the first time coming to the theater, that's one of the things we love about our holiday programming and shows with Algonquin is it builds that tradition and creates memories for the entire family. And then, you know, as we think about the fall and we work with our industry contacts, whether it's agents, artists, and publishers, they're all eyeing the fall in hopes to be able to resume their national tours. So a number of the shows that we had booked prior to COVID have been rescheduled multiple times, and a number of them are landing for September and October of this fall. So for now, that's our planning work. Certainly, we're now more adept at rescheduling shows and pivoting as necessary if we have to, and if we're not able to do those larger shows. But it will be artists such as Melissa Etheridge, Bruce Hornsby, the Mavericks, who are going to be here with us for two nights, that we certainly hope will be returning.
I got to see Bruce Hornsby. My generation got to see Bruce Hornsby.
He's awesome, isn't he?
He is. I know. That's great. Took the top leadership position literally, you know, right in the messy middle of COVID in July of 2020. Of course, you had been the CFO there before. So how did you keep your team together during this?
Yeah, boy, that was a real challenge. I mean, we did have to go through a number of layoffs. So in terms of keeping our whole team intact, you know, that was one of the hardest parts of managing the organization through this pandemic. But we have been able to keep a large core of our professionals intact, and it's so critical for, I know, all businesses who have specialized skills, and certainly we do have those within our organization. So to retain a good portion of that across various departments has been, I think, super important. But yeah, a lot of Zoom calls and a lot of sitting in front of your computer trying to just really keep the lines of communication open across the organization and up and down. And where we are a nonprofit, that for us includes keeping our board fully engaged and aware of changing ground conditions and how we're modifying our strategy going forward. So every day feels like it's you're living in a virtual Zoom world. But when we found opportunities to bring people back together in person, socially distanced and masked, we did that just so that we didn't forget how to communicate with one another in person. And we've actually just recently resumed some attendance back in our physical offices, doing all the social distancing and mask wearing. But that has certainly, I think, given us all a new burst of energy in being able to see each other and having those impromptu conversations that are so much easier to have in person. But I have an awesome, awesome team of people that I work with. And so we have regular standing meetings, group meetings, all that just to keep one another informed and making sure we're all focused on the same priorities.
Go on themusichall.org. That's the website. Buy some tickets, become a member, become a sponsor. Visit when there is an in-person live performance. And so, Tina Sartell, thank you for joining me this weekend, May 15th and 16th. And we'll have you on again. And if you're in the audience when Bruce Hornsby is there, I probably will see you there.
Oh, I hope to see you then. And thank you so much for having me today. It was a pleasure.
And the pleasure of mine. Again, the website for everybody is themusichall.org.